Today is the 24th Sunday after Pentecost, and the readings are from Psalm chapter 90, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, Gospel of Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Today's message is titled, From Everlasting to Everlasting. Hear the word of God from Psalm chapter 90. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, Return to dust, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass in the morning, though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80. If we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Here ends the first lesson. Second lesson is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. Now, brothers, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Here ends our lesson. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. Again, this is Jesus preaching and teaching. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. Each according to his ability. Then he went away on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with two talents gained two more. But the man who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the five talents brought the other five. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with five talents. See, I have gained five more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the two talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the one talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praying that fourth century prayer. Lord God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. Just think, it has been 225 days since we first began holding outdoor worship services in the Faith in Christ parking lot. With the status of the coronavirus, it looks like we'll be outside for a while longer. 225 days since we began worshiping outside in the parking lot means we've been outside for 7 months. In those 7 months, today is the 33rd Sunday worshiping in the parking lot. It seems like a long time. Time keeps turning. Turning around, another week has gone by. Time keeps going and the weeks add up and time keeps moving. Time keeps adding days and weeks and years and years and years since the days of Christ Jesus and the days of the great prophets of the past from all the way to the patriarchs. This shows that the faith we share as the church is older than old. It is older than old, for we have been grafted into the faith that was delivered by the mighty hand of God to the man who led Israel out of bondage in the land of Egypt all those years ago. All the way back to the man of God who was chosen by God to lead Israel from slavery to the promised land, to Moses, and before that to Abraham, and before that all the way back to the beginning. Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses, the man of God, a prayer that takes us back in time several thousand years, a prayer from the perspective of a man who experienced many miraculous moments as the burning bush, the 10 wonders of God's judgment on the gods of Egypt and the land of Egypt. The man whom God spoke directly to, who God gave the celebration of the Passover to. The man who stood before the Red Sea and raised the staff as the Lord commanded, and the waters parted and Israel crossed on the dry ground. The man whose hands received the 2 tablets of God's commands along with the design of the tabernacle with instructions in the manner of worship Israel was to worship. Remember and consider all these wonders of Moses. All these wonders Moses experienced as you ponder the prose of his prayer. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all the generations. Dwelling place, a place of safety and comfort, a place to rest and feel at home, a place to put the feet up and relax. A place of refuge, a full assurance that you can snuggle in safety and knowing things will be okay. Through the generations, reaching all the way back to the Lord calling Abraham out of the land of Ur to become the chosen people of God. Through all the years of wandering with the trials and the tribulations, the sufferings and slavery, the Lord God has been their dwelling place, their refuge, their protection, the mark of their special relationship with the Lord, their God. This sense of dwelling place is what we need right now with the turmoil and troubles of these days and the days ahead. So much is swirling around us and wondering when will life regain some sense of stability of days past. Seems like we are in a wilderness of sorts. And in these days, we can find peace. We can find calm. We can find rest in the dwelling place of the Most High God. These verses give us a reason why to have the Lord as your dwelling place. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Moses, who had been in the mountains, encountering God in the mountains, even hid in the cleft of a mountain as the Lord walked by and spoke the Lord's name. With all these experiences in the mountains, there was a time before the mountains stood tall. There was a time before there was a land. There was a time before there was an earth or a world or any part of creation existed. There was the Lord. Stretching back as far as the human mind can reach, human mind can contemplate, before all things, there was the Lord God. Always, there was the Lord God. Stretch your thoughts in the other direction and consider the ever onward march of time, time that one day will come to a close, a time when, like a thief in the night, of the Lord will come. That day of the Lord is coming. Time will come to a close and into the everlasting. Even when in the time to come, always there will be the Lord God. What better place to find your dwelling than in the everlasting arms of the everlasting God? The next several verses of Psalm 90, Moses in his prayer acknowledges the brevity of time for a man. See the mighty mountains. Look at the mountains. And then understand man is dust. 1,000 years are like a day, nay, like a moment of the watch of the night. The life of the man, though, is like grass in the morning and by night, dry and withered and gone. Swept away in the sleep of death, life passes quickly. Concede our iniquities, our sins are in the light of the presence of God. And before the holy, eternal God, we are frail and temporary, and we are sinful man. God stands forever, and we pass in less than a moment. In the brevity of life, do we really grasp the vast difference between our sinful nature and the holiness of God? Do we fear the wrath and anger of God aright? We speak of God's grace, and grace is wonderful. We speak of the Lord's compassion, the mercy, and love for us. Yet, do we take seriously enough the anger and wrath of God? As Moses prayed, Psalm 90, verse 11, "Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you." Moses has seen with his own eyes the wrath of God. For example, the report of the 12 spies who traveled throughout the promised land. 10 reported the land was not conquerable. There are giants there, and we are like grasshoppers. The bad report spread through the people, and they cried, they grumbled, "Better to die in Egypt. Let's choose new leaders and go back to Egypt." Two, however, Joshua and Caleb rose and spoke that the Lord will go with us. Do not be afraid. At this, the people planned to stone them, to stone Joshua and Caleb. And then Moses pleads before the Lord. This is written in the scripture, Numbers chapter 14, beginning at verse 17. "Now may the Lord's strength be displayed, just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation. In accordance with your great love, forgive the sins of these people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now." The Lord says in response, it's written in Numbers chapter 14, beginning at verse 20. The Lord replied, "I have forgiven them, as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of the men who saw my glory and the miraculous signs I performed in Egypt and in the desert, who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their forefathers. No one who's treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." This is exactly what the Lord did. None of those who were 20 years or older would enter the promised land except Caleb and Joshua. The bodies of all the others would fall in the desert, for they grumbled against the Lord. They would be in the wilderness for 40 years, suffering for their unfaithfulness. Eventually, Moses himself would be excluded from stepping foot into the promised land. The people needed water, and the Lord instructed Moses, "Speak to the rock before the assembly, and I will pour out water." Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, gathered the assembly, and spoke, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring water out of this rock?" Then raising his arms, Moses struck the rock with the staff 2 times, and water gushed forth. But the Lord had a word for Moses. It is written in Numbers chapter 20, verse 12. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." Moses, the man of God, the man who spoke to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him, will not enter the promised land. Moses failed to honor. Moses failed to revere. Moses failed to fear the Lord as holy. Psalm 90, beginning at verse 12. "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days." With a proper fear of the Lord, that is reverence, awe, and wonder before the holy, righteous Lord God, we learn to live aright. As is written in the scriptures, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." But you and I both plainly know from firsthand experience, we stumble, we fail, we fall. Moses was unable to live up to the standard set by the Lord God. Likewise, we too are unable to live up to the righteousness needed. We need another. We need a Savior. Moses prayed, "Teach us to number our days aright." Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians, "Since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled." Do you hear the semblance? Number our days aright is living self-controlled. Self-controlled is sorely lacking these days. Living aright is missing much. Civil cordiality is long past. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. "But since we belong to the day, let us be controlled. Let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet." We belong to the day as contrasted as belonging to the night. Since we do not belong to the night, we do not do the things that are done during the night. Rather, we belong to the day, and as such we live, and that is self-controlled. We do this by putting on faith and love as the breastplate. Faith and love will protect the heart, the vital parts of who we are. Faith, trusting the goodness of God and fulfilling the commands of God to love God and love the neighbor. We also put on hope of salvation as a helmet. Remember, this word hope, it's a certainty of the things to come. Our salvation is a certainty. This certainty of salvation to come, understanding that, protects us and fills us with hope. Now I'm going to read a verse from Psalm 90, and then the next two verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want you to listen carefully so you make the connection between the two. Psalm 90, verse 11. "Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him." Wrath, God's eternal, passionate, righteous indignation against all sin and evil. Wrath, God's eternal, passionate indignation, that righteousness that stands against all things that are sin and evil. Wrath, this wrath is not a sudden outburst of anger. This wrath proceeds from the internal nature of God's holiness, righteousness, and goodness. The eternal nature that is eternally fixed in opposition to all things that are unholy, unrighteous, and evil. And did you hear that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? God did not appoint us, did not destine us for wrath. Let that sink in. We are not destined for wrath. Though we are sinful, fallen human beings, we are not destined for wrath. But, as the word says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That three-letter word translated in the English is but. B-U-T is a powerful word. That word but cuts off what came from before and places what comes next as the reality that stands alone and strong. We are not destined for wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, Jesus Christ, died for us that we may live with Him. Who knows the anger of God? Who knows the fullness of the wrath of God? The answer is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus became sin, and as sin, Jesus received the fullness of the wrath of God. The Son said, "Father, forgive them." And the Son at the cross also said, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" It is written in Isaiah chapter 53, beginning of verse 4. Surely, he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Christ on the cross truly sets us free. Salvation. Salvation is ours who believe in Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's a free gift of God's loving kindness, God's grace. Moses' words from Psalm 90, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord is God. The God who destined us to receive salvation through Jesus Christ. So whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Find your dwelling in him this day and for the life to come. Be encouraged and be built up this day. We don't know when the Master will return. Till then, we do know with certainty the Lord reigns, the Lord is sovereign, the Lord, the everlasting from everlasting God, is our dwelling place. So concluding as Moses did in his prayer, Psalm 90, verse 17, may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen and amen.